idea of some of the things that that the kids were able to do this week. It was an awesome opportunity to have that many kids here and to be able to share with them all week. And, you know, it's really worth all of the investment that we're able to put into these moments for our young people to create memories that will last forever for them and build a foundation in them that will last them through life. And that's what we're trying to do through things like VBS. So we appreciate you all and your support. Even if you weren't necessarily here helping that this past week, we thank you that as a congregation you were supportive of those things. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 13. Mark 10, starting in verse 13, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them." And as I said, one of the most significant things that we can do as a congregation is to invest in our children. That's one of the most significant things that we will ever do as a congregation, is to invest in our children and our youth. And to do that, it's a great responsibility, not only a great responsibility, but as Jamie talked about it, it's a great sacrifice for those that were here. It is an exhausting week. You know, most nights we weren't eating dinner until like 9:30 at night, and it throws everything off. It's a different week. It's a busy, chaotic week. You know, you come in the church and things are kind of, people are rushing around, so things are just kind of thrown in different places, and it gets messy, and that's just the nature of it. But we have to understand, you know, again, the value of what we're doing when we're investing in our young people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, it says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." It says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." Now, the point is, that's simply illustrating that we can do things that are clean and maybe avoid having a week that's crazy and chaotic and all of those kind of things. But investing in our children is vital to not only their spiritual life, but to the long-term life of this congregation and every congregation. So the point is that as he said, that where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. Everything is clean and in order, but you have to have the oxen in order to do the work. So the point is that the investment, though a sacrifice, is worth everything that we put into it, because God desires to work through our young people, not only in the future, but now. And what Jesus is illustrating here in Mark chapter 10 is that he's illustrating the value of children, not just as humans created in the image of God who have the capacity to grow and do great things again in the future, but now in their current stage of life, they exhibit many of the characteristics that God desires to see in all of us. And this is what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 10. We ought to understand that we can learn something from our children now. And they have this ability, as we look at their characteristics and how they interact with the world and how they interact with things of faith, they have the ability to teach us something, again, kind of the characteristics that we ought to find within us, within our spirit. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13 again, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" He's saying the kingdom of God belongs to people that are like these children. Now, the first thing that we learn here from this is that we ought to view all things with spiritual vision, not our human eyes, but we ought to view all things with spiritual vision. Now, understand the disciples rebuked those who were bringing the children to Jesus in this moment. While the Bible doesn't tell us the exact reason that they felt the need to turn away these families, it is safe to assume that in some way they considered whatever was happening in that moment, whatever they had committed themselves to in that moment, was more valuable than turning their attention away from that towards these children. The disciples in some way thought that the children coming to Jesus would be a hindrance that would keep him from doing something else. And again, whatever the disciples considered most valuable in this moment, in the eyes of Jesus, it was not the most important thing. You see, Christ saw something deeper in children. He saw them with heavenly vision, spiritual vision. And he understood that children embody the characteristics that are necessary for life in God's kingdom. McLaren's commentary says this on Mark chapter 10. He says, "The characteristics of the child are those which the man must have in order to enter the kingdom. That their natural disposition," meaning children, "their natural disposition is such as Christ requires to be directed to him." In other words, that childhood has a special adaptation to Christianity. And understand, again, some of the things that we can learn from children that ought to inform the ways that we ought to interact with God. First of all, we see in children that children immediately go to their parents for help. Immediately. Anytime they need help, you can ask Jamie. They go to her more than me. They're beating on the door when she's in the bathroom. When she's in our room, the door's closed, trying to get some work done. They're beating on the door no matter what is happening. My kids aren't going to like this because they're in here. But I had to endure it as a pastor's kid, so do you. We're walking through stores, and, for instance, a clothing store or something. And of course, I'm behind everybody, and Jamie's walking up front trying to go through the aisles in different directions, and Riley's right beside her holding her hand, and Christian is on her heels, like if she stops quick, they're all just going to, be bowled over. And but that's just how children are with their parents. They want to be with them, generally speaking, but when they need help, they go to their parents immediately. And you see, the Word of God tells us that that's how we ought to act or interact with God. That ought to be how we as adults interact with God, have that same innocence to want to go to our parents immediately for help. That ought to be how we view our relationship with the Lord. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is telling you, I will help you. I will give you strength. I will help you. But the question is, are we willing to simply go to him, to have the humility and the innocence of a child, to simply run to God when we need help? Psalm 121, starting verse 1, says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And you see, there are many times that we memorize those type of scriptures. That is one that is familiar to us, that my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But oftentimes when we get into moments as adults where we need help, we start trying to orchestrate things on our own rather than simply immediately running to the Lord and trusting him as our help. And you see, the point of Jesus is illustrating again that these innocent characteristics of children help us to understand how we ought to interact with God. See, children also go to the Lord immediately. Children also go immediately to their parents. They trust their parents for protection from harm. Generally speaking, children trust their parents for protection from harm. Psalm 91, starting in verse 1. "Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, 'You are my defender and protector. You are my God, in you I trust. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers, from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect you and defend you. In verse 14, it says, God says, I will save those who love me and protect those who acknowledge me as Lord. So again, he's telling you, I will protect you. Not only God said, I am your help, but he said, I will be the one who protects you. If you simply will trust me, again, having the innocence and humility of a child to simply run to God immediately, allowing him to be the one who offers you protection. Psalm 34, starting in verse 7, it says this. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. So children trust their parents for protection in the same way we ought to trust God immediately for our protection in life. Children also go to their parents for comfort. Immediately when a child gets hurt, or something is uncomfortable, they run to their parents in that moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. God says that I will comfort you in all of your affliction, no matter what you are going through. I will comfort you in your affliction. And again, what that requires, though, on our part, is to have the innocence and humility of a child. As they run to their parent immediately, there is no thought in their mind when a child needs comfort, there is no thought in their mind, where else should I run? Immediately they know they're going to run to their parent. And you see, in the same way, you and I ought to develop that innocence and humility to understand that I have nothing outside of God. Where else can I go to find comfort in affliction, in trouble, in pain, and sorrow? Where else can I go but to God? And you see, we ought to develop a trust for God, a trust in God, the same way that a child trusts their parent for comfort. Children also rely on their parents for nourishment. You see, in the same way, Jesus came to bring us nourishment, Matthew chapter 4:4. Says, but Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Understand the significance of what he's saying there, that every word that comes from the mouth of God to you is your nourishment. Everything that God says to you is to build up and nourish your spirit. You see, the question, though, again, is whether we are willing to have the humility and innocence of a child to seek God for nourishment. Jeremiah chapter 15, I believe, it says, your words were found, and I ate them. They became nourishment to my spirit. You see, what he's saying is, God's word was here, it was presented to me, but I consumed it so that it could become nourishment to me. And in the same way, God has given us, again, every word that God has spoken is for your nourishment. But you see, as adults, again, how many times our schedules begin to get totally full? And I don't even have 5 minutes to sit down and nourish my spirit by God's word. But you see, in the same way that a child immediately runs to their parent when they're hungry, because they know that I am reliant on my parent. If I'm going to eat anything, I need the help of my parent. And you and I ought to understand that, again, as we've talked about many times, we live this life in this physical world, and we miss the reality that we are not primarily physical beings, we are primarily spiritual beings. And it is necessary not just for me to care for my physical body and nourish my spirit, my physical body, but my spirit is of the greatest importance, that I would nourish my spirit. And again, it says every word that God has spoken is for your nourishment. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus has promised that all of the longings of your spirit, the appetite of your spirit, that you seeking nourishment and your thirst, he says that I will satisfy those things if you will just trust in me. And again, have the innocence and humility of a child to recognize that I can't do it myself. I need Jesus to provide for me. You see, we also find in children that they are teachable. Understand that generally adults don't receive correction well. We come to this place, I understand there are issues with that with children, but generally you have the opportunity to correct children. Generally adults want nothing to do with somebody else coming to them and saying, I see this thing in your life, and it's probably not helpful to your spiritual walk with the Lord. You see, many times as adults, we've come to this place where we're pretty proud in life. And especially as Americans, again, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And you see, in that then, we don't receive correction well. But understand what Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18, it says, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Understand, that's not just talking about children. That's talking about you and I as adults, that I would welcome somebody who I know is walking in the Spirit of God who comes to me and tells me that there's something that they're seeing in me that I need to change. You see, we ought to be people, again, as children, that are teachable, willing to listen and learn from the people around us. We ought to be, again, humble and have the disposition of a child who is teachable. We find this in children, that they generally don't harbor resentment or hold grudges. They are able to forgive quickly. How many times do you see children that they get in an argument with each other and 5 minutes later they're playing like nothing ever happened? Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 14, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone. And again, Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Again, we ought to be people who embody this humble, innocent character of a child who is willing to forgive and forget quickly. But you see, there are many times that adults will hold grudges for decades. You know that's true. I'm sure you've seen people in your life. They're still holding on to something that happened 20 years ago. You see, the Word of God tells us that we ought to be people who would not hold grudges and that we would easily and quickly be able to forgive those who have hurt us. We also find in children that they're fully dependent. In all ways, a young child is fully dependent. Now, we've got quite a few young newborns coming into this church. And every one of those newborns is fully dependent in every way. There's not one way that they are not dependent on their parent. Psalm 62, starting verse 5. Says, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. Understand what he's saying there. I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects me and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. Trust in God at all times, my people. Tell him all your troubles, for he is our refuge. And you see, again, in the same way that a young child is fully dependent on their parent, you and I ought to develop the innocence and humility of a child to be fully dependent on God. That I recognize, as an adult, I recognize that I have nothing outside of God, who is my provider, my protection, my shelter. Everything that I need is in God alone. And recognize that it's not in my power, it's not in my strength. There is nothing that I can do to store up anything of eternal value. But I am fully dependent in every way on God. You see, the Word of God calls us to this, to recognize these things in children, and to understand that that's what Jesus is asking us to be. Again, sometimes we make God's word far more complicated than it needs to be. God's simply asking you to depend on him. God's asking you to be nourished by his word, to allow him to be the one that nourishes you. God's asking you to be teachable. God's asking you to forgive people the same way that we can look at our children and see them do the same thing. You see, I've learned over the years that many of the ways that we interact with our children directly reflect our spiritual journey with the Lord. This is another way I was thinking. I'm sure you've all been there, that you've had the conversation with your children where you see that they didn't do something that they were supposed to do, and you say something like, "We've had this conversation 100 times. Why are you not doing this thing that you know? We've had this conversation over and over and over and over." And you see, that can get frustrating. But see, I've realized that, you know how many times God could say that to me? He could say to you, "I've told you that so many times." And you think with your children sometimes, "Well, why don't you just do it? We told you this. What? It's easier just to do it." Right? But again, how many times could God say that to you as an adult? Maybe I'm the only one, but there are so many times in my life that God could say to me, "I've told you this 1,000 times. If you would just do the thing that I've told you, everything would be so much easier." You see, the point is that human beings, whether we want to recognize it or not, are very stubborn and set in our ways, and we want to do our own thing. And I have to recognize that that is generally what I am bent towards as a human, is to do my own thing my own way. But I have to train myself, again, observing the things that we find in children, the innocence and humility that leads them to be fully dependent on their parents, in the same way God is simply asking you to train yourself to do the same. We would seek him as children. Jesus said, "The kingdom belongs to such as these," meaning people that embody these characteristics of children. That's who the kingdom of God belongs to, those who are willing to seek God in that way. As we worship, as the worship team comes up, we begin to close today. All of this, again, simply, first of all, again, coming off the VBS week, again, there's nothing more important. Which is one of the most significant things that we can do, is invest in our children that way. But again, not just so that we can build them up, though that is unbelievably important. We can build them up and they can know the Lord and become leaders in his church and serve the Lord and all of those kind of things. That is so important. But you see, those weeks at things like Vacation Bible School are also so important for us as adults, as reminders of what we ought to be like. They're characteristics that we ought to find within our spirit. You see, our children have something to teach us. The question is whether we're willing to be teachable. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness, your love. We thank you again for the opportunity to be in this place. We thank you for the children that you have blessed this congregation with. Father, we thank you for their witness, their innocence and humility and desire to be dependent, to forgive quickly, to be teachable, all of those kind of things. Father, we can learn so much from them. Father, help us not to miss that. Help us to view all things around us with spiritual vision so that we might understand and see the things that you want to teach us in simple, everyday interactions that we have. Father, so many times we're waiting for some big revelation, but we can see what you want from us just by observing our children. Father, help us not to miss it. Father, we pray that you would bless each and every child that was with us this past week, that you would build them up, that you would create a foundation that would last through their life. Solid foundation in Jesus. Father, that you would raise up leaders that would be leaders in this congregation, that they would go out into other places in this country and all across this world to lead people to understand the hope that is available in Jesus. Father, and help us to consider it a joy and an honor to participate in that work and to learn from our children along the way. Father, we love you. It is your name we pray. Amen.